The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Welcome to NASCAR America Motor Mouse, the last episode of the season. We are gearing up for championship weekend in Phoenix. I'm Kim Kuhn. He's Kyle Petty.
Yes.
We have Parker Kligerman all the way from Stamford, Connecticut. And it is crazy. We are already to the final week of the year. We're going to crown three NASCAR champions this weekend out west. But despite the fact that we are headed into championship weekend, the talk of the town, the talk of the country, the talk of the world, we were saying worldwide talk, is still Ross Chastain and the move he made to get into the championship four. And the cool thing is, this week we got to see in-car reactions from drivers as it was happening. So let's take a look.
Ross, we're on the fence outside of you, outside. Holy cow. I guess it does work. Holy do you see that? Oh my god!
Oh my god, coming to the checkered flag, I can't believe what I just saw.
That's literally the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life.
That was straight video game.
That was incredible.
Watch one rip in the outside wall of the fence. Holy s***. Unbelievable. Wow! I'm pretty sure you got in with that.
That's the damnedest thing I've ever seen to one done.
What's the one doing?
He was trying to play, hold it wide open and go.
He did it. That is insane.
Did he pass people doing that?
Yeah, he got in the final four doing that.
Holy
come and check your gap of one. Cover your bottom up off.
What in the hell?
Warren, good job. He put it on the fence and went wide open there. I don't know if he beat the, He beat the freaking BT11.
What's the one outside over here? Outside.
Just lost on that.
Well, I've never seen anything like it, but Bell wins, he's in, and the one Hail Mary defense in 3 and 4 and got it. Wow.
Did all I could do, Bruce.
Two spots here.
Gotta get him? Yeah, I gotta get him. Need two.
Keep coming, hang on, man. Checkered flag. Nice and easy. Keep it up against the fence there.
Talk to me, boys.
You made the transfer, man! That was f***ing ridiculous, dude! That was wild, man. That was wild.
Holy cow. Oh my god!
I don't know how long you've been sitting on that move, but that was f***ing incredible.
Dude, that was badass. Good job, yeah.
So we have a lot to say about that move. Drivers had a lot to say. We know you have a lot to say, not only about Ross's move and getting into the championship four, but about championship weekend. So don't forget to call us 1-844-NASCAR-NBC, and you can tweet us hashtag MotorMouse. I can't tell you, I've lost count the number of times I have watched this move, and from all angles. So before I get to where I was watching it, where were you when this was happening?
So the crazy part was that we, Dale Jarrett and I, we're walking in, and we were walking in, and all of a sudden it's like there's a car in the wall, and then you realize it. So you're standing there on pit road as they come by, And listen, looks fantastic on TV. In real time, it was like it stunned. That whole end of Pitt Road down in 3 and 4, the whole end was watching it because I think somebody, they thought, and you heard somebody's in the wall. Somebody's ripping the wall. And then you realize ripping the wall means they're in the gas. So it was pretty wild.
Parker, what about you?
So I was on Pitt Road, and I was actually heading towards down towards turns 1 and 2 because that's where we sort of meet, you know, second through fifth and that sort of thing and all the playoff drivers. But I stopped to watch the last lap, and I'm watching, and all of a sudden, you know, we realize what has happened, and it was one of those moments where, like, everyone stood still. It just felt like the world stopped for a second, and everyone's just, like, looking around like, what just happened? And then the replay happens. I hear the crowd cheering, and they see the replay on the big screen, and suddenly the crowd erupts wildly, right? And it was like, oh, my goodness, what just happened? So one of the most unbelievable, incredible things. I've personally thought about this, like I think so many drivers have, especially all of us who grew up playing video games, like if you could ever actually do this in the real world. But I don't know of any of us that really like, or any time I personally had this moment where I'm like, you know what, this is the time to use it, right? I mean, I think it's one of the most impressive things to me was Ross just figuring out, you know, and getting this in his mind, like this was an option to use. I've watched it 1,000 times like you. I've had people from all over the world text me that are not NASCAR fans, not motorsport fans, being like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. So he is right now the most well-known NASCAR driver in the world at this current juncture. And what a cool reason and, you know, what an amazing move. I just that will live on. As long as time, you know, that we'll be replaying that move that he used there because it's incredible.
So I was covering on the radio side of things for MRN, and the 20 was in my section. And the 20 of Christopher Bell is winning the race. And
that's
typically
right.
On the radio side, we interview the crew chief. So I am at the 20 box, and to their credit, like, they're getting something done that is also unheard
that's
of.
Right.
Like, for the second time. This team is winning to move on in the playoffs and go for a championship. So they're going crazy. And in my ear, I'm hearing the call about Ross Chastain. And I'm like, what is happening? The move was so big, we did not do a crew chief interview with Adam Stevens because all of the attention was on Ross Chastain. So we're looking at, I love that we're showing some of these tweets not just from around the racing world, not just NASCAR. There's Townsend Bell. I saw Fernando Alonso had a tweet.
Yes.
Will Power. All of these people. To Parker's point, he was getting texts from around the world. People. Ross Chastain is the most recognizable name this week in all of motorsports. So what about all of sports? I know it was SportsCenter's top 10.
Yeah.
The number one move. So where does this rank in terms of sports moments?
This is the way I look at it, okay? And I guess, so I think what Ross showed was, is sports, putting it all on the line. That's what sport is all about. That's when they're playing the World Series right now. No matter what you play, what game you play, you know, you leave it all out there. And people yak and flap their lips together and say, I'll do this, I'll do that, and they don't. Mm-hmm. Ross did it. So I look at this, and this is, I don't even have an analogy for this, because he changed the game. He looked at the game different. He played the game a totally different way, and it caught everybody so off guard. Nobody knows what to do except look at it and say, oh my gosh, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody still knows what it was. You know what I mean? So when you say, where's it at in sports and other sports? I don't know what this would be comparable to in basketball or football or baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea, because he saw the field.
Yep.
And he made it.
He had situational awareness.
Awareness of everything. This is what's crazy. And Parker, you know this. This is what's crazy to me. He asked, What do I need to do?
Yeah.
And they say, you got to get two more. Now, that's coming up out of turn two.
Yep.
Turn two.
Yeah, he's got a quarter of a mile
he's got nobody in front of him. He's got basically.
Yeah.
Okay, so in a 23 or 24 second lap, he's got 12 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say he's got 12 seconds to pick up two positions.
Yeah.
And if you listen to the end car, and he's so calm about it, so calm. If you listen to the end car, when he gets to three, he upships.
Yeah.
He goes to fifth. He is so freaking committed that he goes again.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, double down. Here we go, man. We're selling off. And it's funny because we saw Carl try this. Carl Edwards at Kansas when he slid in under Jimmy and got up next to the wall and powered up. We've seen Kyle Larson. We have never seen anybody this committed to making it work. And I'm not sure it would work any of those places. That's not what I'm saying.
It's so circumstantial.
It is so circumstantial. So, you know, but I mean, when he got there, he just powered up.
Yeah.
And that is, it transcends the sport. It transcends all sports. I don't care. I don't think there's, until I see somebody else in another sport do this. I've been around this sport a long time. I've never seen anyone look at the playing field and play the game that different and come out on top.
Yeah, and we talk about it being very circumstantial, and NASCAR came out and said they will not implement a rule on a Chastain-like mood heading into Phoenix. Steve O'Donnell came out and said, you know, we haven't done anything for the first 35 races of the year. We're not going to change it for the 36th. And there were mixed driver reactions. There were a couple of drivers, which I have a problem with, that didn't like the move. And I think it's, they are mad. They've either, you know, to Larson's point, that it didn't work for him.
Larson
tried
it.
They're mad they didn't do it first.
So here's what I'm going to say. Okay? To all those drivers. You can't look at me. You can't look at a fan. I don't ever want to hear it come out of your lips again that you would wreck your mama to win a championship. That I would wreck my best. Because you wouldn't. Ross Chastain would.
Yes.
Ross Chastain showed us that he would do whatever it took. So, and my point is, they said, it's dangerous. Man, it's dangerous, man. You don't need to get up there on the wall. That's dangerous. What about wrecking your mama?
Yeah.
What about wrecking your...
Racing in general.
What about wrecking someone on purpose?
Yeah.
What about that is not dangerous? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it anymore, man. Listen, let me just say this, Parker.
Yep.
It's Wednesday morning. I got up. I got up at my house. I walked out in my front yard, and I could still hear drivers whining in Martinsville because they got their butts kicked. Okay? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm 70 miles away, and I still hear them whining.
So I got a couple points. One, I think this is really cool because this is why you watch live sports, right? The anticipation of a moment, something unbelievable, something never seen before. I can think of, you know, personally for me in another sport, the Giants with the helmet catch many years ago. Like, that was a very cool moment, right? So that's something I'll never forget, and I think there's multiple in racing, right? I think of the 2011 Indy 500, you know, where they Hildebrand goes into the wall in the last corner, those sorts of moments, Dale Earnhardt winning the Daytona 500. So I just think this is why you watch live sports. It's the anticipation of seeing something unbelievable like this or something really cool. Now, for all the drivers who have a problem with it, here's my thought. So I thought immediately, wow, that's unbelievable. This is so cool. I can't believe he pulled that off. But within probably about, I don't know, a minute, I thought, all right, so now what do we do from here? Because I know at Phoenix this weekend, it's probably not going to happen. It's probably not feasible down in turns 3 and 4 to do it because of the shape of the wall. And although some people have tested on iRacing and said it's about, I don't know, 5/10 to 6/10 faster, I still don't think it's probably that feasible to do. This car has allowed it. And what we saw at Martinsville there compared to what we saw out of Larson at Darlington. But what I don't want to see, and I think this has been a pretty popular thing, is I don't want this to be the norm of how you finish every Martinsville race, right? That's the problem. The problem I see is that we go back there in the spring and I'm running in third, I upshift the fifth, ride the wall and try to win the race, or all of the drivers in the top five decide to go onto the wall to finish the race. That's a problem to me. So I think there has to most likely be some reaction by NASCAR evaluating this in the offseason as we get towards Martinsville. But for now, I think it can live as a really cool moment. I think forever will live as a cool moment. And, you know, more respect to Ross and for pulling that off and doing it the way he did. But I still think you eventually have to say something because this will become the norm, not the exception.
I disagree. I don't think you say something until somebody else tries it and it causes a problem. Because to my point, it's so circumstantial. It was so specific to this moment that I don't think you're just going to have drivers tossing their hat in the ring to do
this. It was, Kim, it was 2.5 seconds faster than the lap prior.
Two and a half seconds
on a 20-second lap. I mean, we could be running fifth on the last lap of Martinsville in the spring and just rip the wall and win. Like, I think it's going to happen again.
I don't see it happening on a repeated basis where lots of drivers are trying this. Now, I think another driver tries and does it, then maybe you look at making a rule. But I just We can agree to disagree.
I think you will see it if, you know, something's not done or said, you know, the way this car, you know, what I think what the problem with the old car was, you couldn't do it. It deformed too much. Mm-hmm. The rear end would be knocked out. When I looked at that one car, and I posted these on Twitter, the photos of it, when I walked up to it after the race, I mean, it doesn't look any different than a car that has lightly brushed the wall. Like, it's unbelievable how little damage that car had. Look at it. So you can see the right front suspension is messed up, which is why you probably couldn't do it more than probably one, you know, one set of corners. Yeah. But the car is barely deformed. These things are so tough. They just don't get that friction on the wall. So it creates so much speed, allows that speed to stay up. I just think, and you look, the tires are up. It barely even touched the tires. So this is absolutely something with this car that's going to be available to do in the future if we don't make a change.
Well, regardless, it created an absolutely history-making moment. And the cool part was watching the broadcast, our coverage on NBC, I love, because at the end, like, the computer was trying to decide, all right, who's in, who's out. It couldn't keep up, and it finally settled. And you see this emotion from Trackhouse Racing, watching the NBC broadcast, looking at that standings, and they realized they made it. It was just such a cool moment. We have our first caller of the evening, Marvin Blue, is on the line, and we got word that it's a birthday for you. So very happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much, Kim. Finally, somebody wished me a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Marvin.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it, guys. Well, hey, you guys are all talking about Ross Chastain. Well, let me make my picks for this weekend's races. For the Xfinity Series Championship, I want Noah's Ark Gregson. And winning the championship, give me Ross the Boss, the master of the watermelon crawl. Give me Ross Chastain to win it all on Sunday.
All right.
Those are solid picks, man.
Maybe he'll have your birthday wish come true and he'll win it. So speaking of that, Marvin, you teed us up perfectly. So the one team has this momentum after that move headed into Phoenix. What do we think their legitimate chances are at winning their first championship as a team?
So, listen, and we... Parker and I, we've done this so many years, and you sit here, and it's the big three one year, you know, and you say, who's going to? And we asked Christopher Bell in Victory Lane, handicap this. And he gave us a reason why every one of them could win, why every one of them. And when you look at it, in this season, where we've had 19 different winners, where we've had so many things happen, let's go back to Ross Chastain at Martinsville. How do you handicap this? You know, you've got Christopher Bell, who has most points in the first round, walk off in the second round, walk off in the third round. If anybody's got momentum and can go to a single race playoff system, it seems like it's Christopher Bell. You look at Joey Logano. He's had 2 weeks. He has said on numerous occasions, we have done a deep dive into Phoenix. We are ready for Phoenix. Nobody has had that opportunity but this guy. You look what Ross Chastain did and the momentum. And all you have to do, and I'll go back to what you said, all you have to do with Ross Chastain is look at that pit crew reaction. Mm-hmm. They're going.
Yeah.
They're going. They're going to Phoenix, and they're going for the jugular. Yeah. They're going. And then you take Chase Elliott. And the Hendrick juggernaut that goes out there, and how do you bet against those guys and what they've done and what they're able to do? So for me, I can't handicap it. I look at it and I say, my gosh, man, these are four teams that are capable at any given time of rising to the occasion, and four teams that have risen to the occasion in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And I think there's nothing that says Ross Chastain and Trackhouse cannot go to Phoenix and come home with that trophy. And that would be a phenomenal story for Ross Chastain and for Justin Marks and Pitbull and that entire group.
And we're going to take a deeper dive into each of the championship drivers. Still talking about Ross. So, Parker, for you, what kind of momentum do you feel like Ross has? And what would a championship mean to this race team in only their second year?
I think the momentum is there. The belief is there. This is a team that many had been knocked out of the rounds of 16. Then it was, okay, they'll be knocked out of the round of 12. All right, now it's the round of 8. That's when they'll really be knocked out. There's no way. Well, guess what? He's part of the championship four. So I think this team has defied all convention. They've defied anyone's understanding of what is or isn't possible. I think Justin Marks has done an incredible job of changing the mentality of that organization. He talks often about culture and mentality because that's what he believes can make the difference in an era where you have cars or equipment that's essentially at least starts all the same. When you arrive to your shop or the shop down the street, it arrives the same. So there's a thought process that it comes down to mentality and culture, and that's what they've instilled at Trackhouse, and they've proven that to be true. So right here, you got the points bet odds to win. I would flip this up a little bit differently. I'd put Joey at the top, Chase second, Christopher Bell and Ross at the bottom. But I think that's easy off the stats or sort of looking at certain things in this season. But to be honest, to go down to, you know, Kyle's point, I think Ross has as good a chance as any of those three. Yeah. And really, it goes to some of the things we've seen with this car, where the car, everyone is incredibly close. The times, the lap times have never, and I say this with full conviction, have never been this tight across the entirety of the field. If you watch the top lap times at any given moment in the middle of a green flag run in the NASCAR Cup Series last week at Martinsville, you will have cars from 1st to 28th running within half a tenth of each other. Every single car.
Yeah.
Every single lap. So there's it comes down to the finest little details that are going to make a huge difference. And one of the things the one team has that they've had all year is that pit crew. And they've been ranked as the fastest pit crew on pit road all year. I think some of the other three have made changes, including Joe Logano's team, which has made a jackman change, which they believe has made them, they thought they were the fastest on pit road this past weekend at Martinsville. But still, that's a pit crew that has a lot of confidence, has shown a lot of speed, has been consistent, and now you're giving them a chance to go out there, where I believe that final pit stop in the stage three could be the most crucial pit stop in possibly NASCAR history, because it will be the make or break between winning or losing a championship.
Go ahead.
And I'm gonna say one other thing here on Ross and Joey when we go here. The two, bar none, and I think you, I hope you agree, the two most aggressive drivers on restarts, period.
Oh, 100%. Yep. Oh, yeah. Period. I'm with you.
On a regular day. I can't imagine how aggressive that they will be on these restarts.
And at a place like Phoenix.
At a place where you can be aggressive. Yeah. I cannot imagine how aggressive these two will be. I'm going to tell you, Chase Elliott and Christopher Bell on a restart better wear their big boy pants.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to do something in the turn one there, because these guys are going to be, they're going for it, man.
Ross has attempted to wreck me at for 30th on multiple restarts in my career.
On a restart.
So I can tell you for sure he is one of the most aggressive in all of NASCAR in terms of restarts.
True.
Yeah. You guys, again, took the wind out of my sails. I had ranks first on restarts for the number one, and then pit crew fastest for four tire stops. Ran into Ross today at the NASCAR building, and they have a little motto, a little saying there, 99 problems, but a pit stop ain't one. I love that. They tie into the two car numbers. And that's the thing about this team. They're also having fun, which you can't say that about necessarily all the teams out there. You can tell they're enjoying it. Well, Ross is not the only driver up for a championship. Chase Elliott also going for it. And we have to talk about the owner's championship. So Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, next up on the block.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Here comes Chase Elliott. Elliott has closed the gap. He's on the back bumper of the 22.
Get Kyle Larson the lead on a closed drag race.
What a pass, Chase Elliott, for the lead in the championship. Larson has it. Chase Elliott is a NASCAR Cup Series champion.
Kyle Larson is your 2021 NASCAR Cup Series champion.
Oh, my God, guys! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable.
A little look back at the prior champions from 2020 and 2021 there, but now looking at drivers versus owners championship four. So on the left hand side, our driver champions, Ross Chastain, Chase Elliott, Christopher Bell, and Joey Logano going for that Cup Series driver championship. But on the flip side, we have pretty much the same list except for the five of Hendrick Motorsports going for that owners championship. So for the first time, The two have been different in this modern era of the elimination style. And we spoke with Vice Chairman of Hendrick Motorsports, Jeff Gordon, about the Owner's Championship versus the Driver's Championship.
It's been a lot of stress, I must say. Certainly one of the most unique situations that we've ever been in that I can remember at Hendrick Motorsports and in the sport in general. There's so much that goes into behind the scenes getting prepared to go to the racetrack and win a championship. And you know, I just think back to last year, we had both the 9 team and the 5 team going to Phoenix for, you know, to compete for a championship. And it was great to have 2 of the 4 in there, but that was driver and team on each of those situations. So, you know, it was just all hands on deck. And, you know, we wanted to try to create that same situation as we head into Phoenix this weekend. And there is a difference, right? There is a little bit of a different feeling. There's members of the team that are saying, we're here to support Chase, get a driver's championship, but not an owner's championship. And then you got the same thing happening on the opposite end with Kyle Larson. Well, my team can go for a championship, but I'm not going to be recognized as a driver. So we've done all that we can behind the scenes to try to really send the message to both teams of, guys, when you go there and you win that championship, you're going to be recognized as a champion, regardless of the situation. And you know, we want them to go there and go all out and feel that. And the only way we could do that is do a lot of due diligence behind the scenes from how contracts are put together, how we prepare, and we send people and partners out there, and we're prepping as if, you know, we're just like last year going for a championship for a driver and an owner, and hoping that we get them both. My preference is either the 48-24 wins the race, and the 5 wins the owner championship, and the 9 wins the driver's championship. That's a mic drop, and that's all we can ask for. That's what we're hoping for.
And we should remind you, Alex Bowman back in the seat of the 48 for the final race of the season. But to Jeff's point, theoretically, we could have a situation where there could be 3 different burnouts. You could have a different race winner than both the driver championship and the owner championship. And I want to get your thoughts on this, because we have not seen a separate driver and owner championship since 1963.
No, and listen, and so let's be 100% honest that the only people talking about this are in Hendrick Motorsports. Okay? It's not a lead story. I'm sorry. It's just not, because the average race fan doesn't care which team owns. They care about the driver.
Yeah.
And I'm not belittling this, because this is the championship. This is the championship that so much of the finances and the business side of racing is run off of. How you finish in the championship standings at the end of the year, the legacy of having that championship, being that, you know, Petty Enterprises had 10 championship owners, 10 championships were they on. So they were number one on that list until Hendrick come along, till Gibbs come along, some of these guys. So the way the money is divided up, so this championship not only pays for Hendrick this year, but it has the potential to pay for Hendrick Motorsports to reap benefits in years to come because of the legacy. It's different because of the 45, because of Kurt Busch. Mm-hmm. Kurt Busch's injury shook up that, and that's the way it is. We used to have this a lot. We have it in Xfinity.
Yes.
We've had it in Xfinity. We've had it in the lower series, the other series, but not at the cup level, it seems like, in forever. Since 63, Joe Weatherly won the championship. Glenn Wood and the Wood brothers won the owner's championship. But back then, you had multiple drivers. Mm-hmm. Joe Weatherly drove for 9 different teams that year to win the championship. So it's so different. It's just the model is so different. And that's why we say in the modern era and the way it is right now. But make no bones about it. That owner's championship
it's
is just as important to Jeff Gordon and Rick Hendrick, and that organization is sending Chase Elliott out there and having him be the driver's championship. It is just as critical to that organization.
So, I'll tee you up, Parker. Don't think like a driver. Just think maybe like a team owner.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's money tied to the owner's championship, but if you could only have one, if you're Hendrick and you could only have one, do you want the driver championship, which gets more recognition, or the owner championship, which gets more money?
I'm going to think like an owner, and I'll take the owner's championship. Thank you very much. And we'll be able to cash those checks for years to come. And as Kyle alluded to, it's got a legacy to it as well. And I think what you do is exactly what Jeff Gordon described there. And I don't know this the exact, but from what he insinuated talking about contracts, normally a driver, right, has bonuses associated with winning a championship, which in Kyle Larson's position would kind of be effectively happening with his car, but not him, and obviously vice versa for Chase Elliott. And so it sounds like sometimes as an owner to quell those things, I could just say, hey, you know what? If you or your car wins the championship, we're going to treat that like you've won a championship, right? And those bonuses and financially what goes along with that and those sorts of things. And that really quickly probably alleviates some of the fears and the talk happening internally amongst some of the drivers and teams in the organization who, you know, although we all race for pride and for trophies and for checkered flags, at the end of the day, it is professional sports, it's professional motorsports. We're also doing it as a living, and you have those things set up there because you want to be rewarded for being successful. So I can absolutely see, you know, where they've had to work through that and figure that out. But that's where I feel like if I was an owner, I'd go for the owner's championship, right? Because I know that one has the biggest fruit to bear there, and I can figure out the rest with Chase and that sort of thing. So, and really, his perfect scenario, he can have all three.
He could have it all.
He could have his cake and eat it too.
And he brings up an interesting point. I'm betting somewhere in the fine print and somewhere in Rick's contract with Chevy is if he is the owner's champion and it's a Chevy, he's got a bonus in there somewhere in his contract, just like a driver would have something. I'm sure there's probably something there. So we're not just talking a few hundred thousand
here.
We're not talking many zeros here. Yeah, that's exactly
off the screen zeros.
Yeah, we're talking lottery numbers here, okay? We're talking lottery numbers.
Chase might be a little heartbroken to hear you guys say that. So what are Chase's chances for the Driver Championship? In the spring, he finished 11 at Phoenix. We saw him win it in 2020 to take home the championship. Yeah. And on top of that, our expectations for Phoenix, does the spring, like, can we even look at spring results the second time around?
I think spring results are tough. And my point being, we used to say this predominantly in years past because we felt like you could make improvements to the cars and those sorts of things. You cannot do that now, right? These cars come as spec parts, essentially. You put them together. But it doesn't mean teams haven't learned things, right? And they have learned a ton since we were last there in the spring. And we've seen very much a change. And we've seen how topsy-turvy it can be in terms of who figures it out week to week with having 19 winners. So there's absolutely things that have changed, things they've learned, things they've just learned about the tire of this car, how to drive it, all those things that factor in how to relate it to their sims, these sorts of things that really, create an entirely different race that we could see this time around and performance from these cars than we saw in the spring. So I just don't put a lot of stock in it other than if you were successful. Yeah. If you were successful, you know what? That can provide confidence. If you've been successful here in the past as a driver, that provides confidence. But in terms of the actual cars, I do believe you will see, we'll have differences because the teams have learned stuff naturally over the course of the whole season.
Agree 1,000%. And if you don't believe it, let's just go back to Martinsville last year and look at who ran or last week, and look who ran well there in the spring and who ran well there this time. It's a different cast of characters.
Sure.
Chase is a little bit of an enigma to me. I don't understand him this year. I don't understand that team.
Psychology, too.
It's crazy, man. I mean, he seems to be the only driver that wins races that stays pissed off 95% of the time. Okay? Yeah. And I don't understand that. I mean, I can't wrap my head around that. At the same time, and let's go back to the early part of the season, Parker, where that's when he was winning races and running up. When the Chevys hit the ground running. Yeah, they hit the ground running early in the season. So if we get to the halfway point, you looked at it and you said, that's the guy, that's the guy. But then we get to the playoffs, and just as we talked about Christopher Bell, most points first round, walk-off second round, walk-off third. Every round, Chase Elliott said, here, take all my points back. I don't need them. I don't want to play anymore. You know what I mean? And he gave up everything in the first race of every round. So I don't even know where they're coming from. All I know is I believe in that guy that was just speaking a minute ago, Jeff Gordon. I believe that they are putting everything they can into that 9 car and into that 5 car to go out there and win those championships. And that should give everybody pause. Everybody has to step back and say, whoa, they're coming at us now. They may not have been coming at us the last 35 races, but they're coming at us now. So I do believe that. And that is the one thing is for me, and I'll just blatantly say it. Which Chase Elliott shows up?
Exactly.
Who is the Chase Elliott that shows up to run for the championship?
And he has the least, for me, Parker, he has the least amount of momentum because you have Joey Logano who won Vegas. So for 2 weeks, that team has been Phoenix focused. You have Ross Chastain, who we already talked about, the most well-named in sports this week, all that momentum. And then you have Christopher Bell, who back-to-back proved up against the wall they can win. And then Chase, even post-race, he was not happy. He did not like where he was running. He said his car was not good. Yep. And so of those four drivers, Chase and that nine team have the least momentum. And I feel like they've got to scrounge something up if they're going to do anything in Phoenix.
Well, didn't PointsBet have him number one?
Yes.
The favorite?
Yeah. I know.
And I think they're going off of what my reasoning would be, right? Which is, you know, you look historically, you look at his performance there in the past, you look at what they've done at some of the flat tracks this year, and those sorts of things, and I just sort of see, like, okay, there's performance there. There's the ability to have the speed and the performance. But you brought up a good point, Kyle, which is through these playoffs, it has been interesting to watch this nine car go through the rounds because they've just had times where, you know, you look at Vegas and you're just like, where is the nine and Chase Elliott? Like, you know, what happened here? I just think that's been very uncharacteristic of this team, of this driver. And so they are in the championship four. They can rise up. I give them just as good a chance, as I said before, as the other three. I think, you know, absolutely Chase Elliott obviously knows how to get around Phoenix, has done it before. And I think Alan Gustin and that nine team can put a fast car together. But I just think it's odd
there
sort of what their momentum has been, right?
Yeah. There you go. And there's your wild card with Chase Elliott is Alan Gustin. I look at this group. I look at Joey and Paul. I look at Chase and Alan. You look at Christopher I look at Christopher and Adam Stevens. These are strong combinations, man.
Sure.
You look at those crew chiefs, when you look at Alan and Paul and Adam Stevens, they've been there. Done it. Been there, done that. You know what I mean? We're guys. We know how to do this. So that is the one twist in the Chase thing for me that I have to give him a little bit of a nod and look at him because I say, whew, he's got Alan. Man, Alan's tough. Alan's got ice water in those veins. He never flinches when he sits on top of that box. So that is, and he's willing to make a call. Mm-hmm. He's willing to make win, lose, or draw. He's willing to make a call and say, and put it all out there.
Well, if the nine team is able to pull it off, Chase would become the youngest driver in NASCAR history with multiple Cup Series championships. But in order to do it, he's not only to get through Ross Chastain, he also has to get through Joey Logano and Christopher Bell. We'll talk those two championship contenders next.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Green flags in the air.
Man, take home. Could have been big.
And a spin on the racetrack.
It's Joey Logano.
He just got us right in the round. Never lifted the 11.
Pretty well killed. Sorry about that.
Up in turn number four, two cars hard up the outside wall.
Yeah, he clobbered you big time.
Happened there.
Jeff Gordon, he'll get the mystery player.
Y'all get Boyer. Don't have to do that stupid.
Bubba trying to block. He gets into the 20. The 20 slides.
Yeah, it was definitely not clear. Oh, well.
And looking at the championship weekend schedule, things kick off Friday with practice. That'll be on USA. And then qualifying Saturday, also on USA. And then Sunday, the big day, countdown to green, starts 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. Don't forget that, Eastern time, because we are in Phoenix. That's going to be on NBC, followed by the race. And then, of course, the post-race show on Peacock, where we'll get all of the driver reactions from what we see in the championship race. And want to correct ourselves, or myself, actually. I was on the
You correct
edit.
All of us.
Yeah, all of us. Chase Elliott, if he does win the championship, second youngest driver to have multiple championships.
And if you know who the youngest is, please call us.
If you know who the youngest is,
please call in right now. That's a trivia question.
We think it might be Jeff Gordon, but that's
we're
that's
guessing
a trivia
Jeff.
Question.
We're
so if you
Jeff.
Have Any stats that you can help us out? Who was the youngest driver to have multiple championships in the Cup Series? Let us know. With that, let's go to the phone lines. We've got NASCAR Carl. Howdy. Good evening. What you got for us?
Hey, I just want to take the time, first of all, to thank everybody behind the scenes of Motor Mouse for taking our calls all year long. Parker, it was great spending time with you in Michigan. KP, as
too,
always,
buddy.
Man, you're my buddy.
Sorry I missed you, man.
No problem. We got next year, buddy. What a year it's been. This is the first year I've ever rooted for somebody besides Ryan Newman, but all on board with Ryan Blaney. Team Penske just didn't finish races this year. But with that being said, I got to go with my teammate Joey Logano. It really is hard to handicap this, but I think the way Ford started this season, what a way to cap it off. We didn't know what they had. And I think them 2 extra weeks with this new car, I think that time is very valuable. So I'm going to go with Logano and can't wait to talk to y'all next year on Motor Mouse.
Can't wait to talk to you, dude.
Awesome.
Thanks,
NASCAR Carl. And he brings up a good point.
Yeah.
He's going with Joey Logano. Joey's had 2 weeks, he and Paul Wolf, to prepare. And we talk about this being the youngest group of championship four drivers, and we have a little bit of a disagreement. I know Parker doesn't put Joey in that category because Joey is 32, but I think relative to, like, the Kevin Harvicks, the Kurt Busches, the Denny Hamlins of the world, Joey is still young. But this is, like, his 15th year in the Cup Series. So does that bring a level of experience that not going to see from the other three championship contenders?
Well, it does bring a level of experience. I remember when Joey came the first time, and Kevin Harvick used him up emotionally in the press conference.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like
was
a deer in headlights.
That was the pound him into the ground one.
It was a deer in headlights. That's not the Joey Logano we see today.
Yeah.
That's not. I mean, he is a 30-race winner, okay? Has already won one championship. He's been here. Mm-hmm. Been there, done it, and he's done it at the ripe old age of 32. And here's the thing. I don't put him as that grizzled veteran, and I don't put him as that young gun. He's that middle guy. He's in that middle. He's in the middle. He replaces Kyle Busch in that middle age, in that middle group right there. I think Kyle is moving into the grizzled and the grizzled veterans at 37
or 38. By the way, KP just put Kyle on the Sunset Cruise for his Cup Series career.
Yes.
Well
he ran
done.
Like he
thank
ran,
you.
And he ran like he was on the cruise already this year. So let me just go ahead and say that.
Well, that ship sank. If it was on a cruise, they sank in Martinsville.
So, but
I think he had a right rear issue.
Yeah, but the one thing that Joey has had from the very beginning is there's something that you can't see that when he puts that helmet on, he's just somebody else. He just goes somewhere. Every time they make it to the playoffs, they elevate their game to another level. He carries that car on his back a lot of times and gets a fifth, gets a sixth, just points his way when he can't win. And to have 2 extra weeks, to be as prepared as what we know the Penske organization can be, to know Paul Wolf, to know Joey Logano, they've got 10 million things pointing as, yes, we can do this. And maybe only a couple of things that would point and say, there may be somebody better for this.
Nate Ryan said it right on an early episode of Race for the Championship. He said, Joey, nice guy. He puts on that helmet, and he's a jerk.
Yeah, he is. That's okay. That's okay.
Hey, so, not here to make friends, right?
That's right.
Not here to make friends.
Bring your friends
to track. Ross Chastain would agree with that. KP said there are a couple things that they need to work on. For you, Parker, what do you think will hold back the 22, if anything, from a possibility of a championship in Phoenix?
Well,
so we know their strengths, but what are you looking at them to maybe need to improve if they want to take home the trophy?
I think for the 22 car, the only thing that could hold them back is not having the track position late. I think they will have a fast car. I spoke to Paul Wolf earlier today, and he told me sort of what they focused on over the last couple of weeks and what that allows them to do. But he said the one thing that worries him is that idea of being stuck without track position late in the race and unable to do anything. And I think that's just where this 22 car could get caught out. And I don't think it's anything really I can tell you what will get them there, right? Maybe a pit stop issue or some sort of issue on a restart or something like that. But my point being, that's the only thing I really think that stops it. So conventional wisdom and all the numbers tell me that 22 should be your favorite, right? But as we said throughout this show, this is the next-gen era, and Paul Wolf made that very clear to me. And he was like, look, this is the next-gen era. It's in a completely different way of thinking about racing and stock car racing we've had in the past. And he said, one thing, though,
They did win the first ever race in the next gen car at the LA Coliseum. And he said, if we can cap the season by then winning the championship as well, you know, that's a pretty cool thing to do it in this entirely different era of racing and how you think about stock car racing at the top level of NASCAR. So I think it's an interesting question. But, you know, for the 22 car, I firmly believe this is a team that sort of has it all for the taking in front of them if they can execute at a very high level and basically really, really focus on the small details, because they will have the speed. And as you mentioned, Joey is an incredible athlete when it comes to rising to the occasion. I'll never forget his crew chief when he won in 2018. Todd Gordon told me before that weekend. He said, you know, there's athletes like Michael Jordan that just seem to rise to an occasion, right? That just find a way to find that extra gear, that extra bit of something to go out there and get more. Lewis Hamilton is great about that in Formula One. He said Joey Logano is one of those guys, and the way he won that 2018 championship was in the late race restart there, getting to the front and not relinquishing it when it mattered most. I think that's what his ace in the pocket is. So, for really, you know, this team has everything in front of them, and it's only going to be something small or some sort of mistake that keeps them out of it.
Well, Joey Logano is making his fifth championship four appearance. On the flip side, Chris Revell is making his first. Now, that team coming off back-to-back against the wall wins they needed. Yeah. I think this is a sleeper pick because Christopher Bell had an interesting point during this round of the playoffs. He was asked at one point about experience, and despite his, you know, kind of, I don't want to say rookie-ishness in the playoffs, because he's not a rookie in the Cup Series, but this is the farthest he's ever been. He said, you have to remember, the elimination style is in all three of NASCAR's top series. So he considers this his sixth playoff appearance, because he did two in truck, two in Xfinity. This is his second time in general in the Cup Series playoffs. And then the other thing, for whatever reason, I feel like people forget about Adam Stevens. And you brought up a good point about Allen and Paul. I don't know why, but people are forgetting that Adam Stevens is a two-time Cup Series championship crew chief. And I think when he parted ways with Kyle Busch, he kind of got lost a little bit in the shuffle. And I think kind of that's the ace in the pocket for Christopher Bell. For me, is Adam Stevens on top of the box.
Yeah, so true. And I do. Listen, I worked with Adam. Adam worked for us long, many years ago. But and I just think he is a great human being and a great person, but incredibly thorough in everything he does. And I think everybody attributed some of these Kyle Busch championships to 100% driver. And I think you can't.
No.
You can't. There is no 100% driver that wins anything anymore. It's these combinations that we're talking about right here. And I think talking to Christopher Bell after the race, when you're in position and Adam Stevens says, come down pit road, we're going to put four tires on you with six laps to go or ten, whatever. Christopher Bell said, I'm going to come down pit road.
Yeah.
Because I believe.
I trust.
I trust and I believe in Adam Stevens. And that is something that you can't, there's not a wedge there. And we've seen it. And I think, you know, Parker mentioned Todd Gordon. Once there's a crack in that combination of Joey Logano and Todd Gordon, it's time to separate.
It splinters the entire thing.
Once there's a crack between Allen and Chase, you got to separate. You got to pull them apart. Nobody's
going to be successful. We saw that with Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knauss.
We've seen it in this sport more than we want to talk about sometimes. But a lot of times that crew chief never gets that second opportunity. Adam Stevens has gotten another opportunity and is making the most of that opportunity with this kid. And I believe this. I believe in everything he's driven, from midgets and sprints to whatever he's ever done, it's prepared him for this moment. He didn't flinch when he got to the Roval. He didn't flinch when he got to Martinsville. What makes you think he's going to flinch when he gets to Phoenix? I just don't see that happening to Christopher Bell.
I'm with you. I don't see him flinching at all. And this team has consistently told me from before the playoffs that they were a championship four caliber team. They proved it in the round of 16 where they were the best team and the highest scoring throughout that round. They've obviously had two tumultuous rounds to get here to the championship four. But I absolutely would not count out this 20 car. Yeah. And possibly to do it in the way that they won the Roval and they won Martinsville, which you just brought up, Kyle, which is do something different. Find a way, and you got to give Adam Stevens a lot of credit for doing that, and then Christopher Bell executing when put in those positions, because he both times put him on a different strategy and did something different, and then the driver rose up and took it for what it, you know, took that opportunity. So I absolutely see this team being a bona fide contender, and you just cannot count them out. I won't count them out till literally the checkered flag falls because they'll find
right. That's right. Agree.
Well, we've made the case for each of the Cup Championship four drivers. Now I'm going to force your hand and make you guys pick a championship contender to win it all. Mm. We also have to go over NASCAR Xfinity Series Championship as well, coming up.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
After 10 months of racing, it all comes down to 200 laps in the desert to determine who will be the NASCAR Xfinity Series champion.
You have to rise to the occasion in these moments.
You got to be the best car there.
All you fans, was that cool? Did we put on a show for you guys?
The one championship driver that finishes in front of the other will be crowned the champion.
There would be nothing more special than to hoist that trophy.
And for the majority of the season, we had talked it being JRM versus JGR. Now we have our championship four in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, and it is certainly that. The JRM drivers of Justin Allgaier, Josh Berry, and Noah Gregson going up against Ty Gibbs. One of them will take home the NASCAR Xfinity Series championship. So, Parker, I'm going to start with you. Tell us your pick.
So in the Xfinity Series, you just had to look at those four. Well, for three of them, it's first appearance, second appearance, first appearance. And then there's Justin Allgaier, fifth appearance. Let's just give the guy finally a championship. He was so close in 2016. I'm a friend of Justin's, but I just feel like he deserves a shot with how fast these cars have been. It's Justin Allgaier for the taking. He will be your champion this year.
Yeah. All right, KP.
Listen, I'm pulling for this guy. I've picked him every year that he's gone, so this year I'm picking Noah.
All right,
I'm picking Noah this year.
I was like, you're pulling for him, so who are you picking?
I'm going with Noah, man. Listen, Noah has just fallen into a groove after his Road America issue.
Yeah.
He has just fallen into something, and they seem to be able to do no wrong. Yeah. I don't see it happening for anybody but him at Phoenix.
As much as I would love to see a Justin Allgaier championship or a Josh Berry, I won't talk about the other one. I think it's going to be Noah Gregson. Yeah. 8 wins on the season. He won Phoenix earlier this year. I think that's a telltale sign that they're going to be top of the board when we're looking at the pylon out west. All right, so we have made our Xfinity Series championship picks. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Now, like I said, we've made the case for each of the Cup Series drivers. I think this is probably the hardest choice to make in this era of elimination-style playoffs. For me, this has been the most challenging all season long to pick race winners, and now we're at championship weekend. It is no different. Starting with you, KP.
I will pull, will pull, and will always pull for Joey Logano, come heck or high water. That's just the way it is. I just love that guy. But for this championship, for this year, I'm going with Ross Chastain. I picked him from the very beginning to make it to Phoenix, and now he's there. So I'm not jumping off this horse here.
KP has worked the system, but KP's worked the system to figure out how to pick two drivers.
I'm pulling for this guy, but this guy's going to win.
I'm just going to say, for all the fans, so you don't tweet me in hatred, Chase, I'm just kidding. Joey Logano's going to be your champion, and that's just the fact. The 22 car will win the championship this year. So I just think, although Chase Elliott and all those fans want that to happen, I just think all conventional wisdom tells me if they can execute, the 22 car is your champion on Sunday.
That's right. Chase gets to be Miss Congeniality again this year, okay? So
there
he gets something.
Early in the season, I had picked Ross Chastain as my championship favorite. I kind of dumped him for Tyler Reddick there for a while.
Oh.
So I'm going to go back to Ross Chastain. Okay. We do want to let you guys know that Tyler Reddick has been cleared medically to race Phoenix. So excited to hopefully see him out there running the boards, running the high line. But I am going with Ross Chastain. I would love to see Trackhouse Racing
get the championship.
That would be cool.
Well, you guys both have Chastain.
All right. Yeah. It has been an awesome season. Thanks to all of our
contributors,
all of our viewers, and everyone that called in all season long. We will see you guys in Phoenix for the finale.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.